So far in this book, we have gone from the meditations of India and Hinduism to Hollywood, from the deathbed visions of altered states of consciousness, from drugs to astral travel, from positive thinking to creative imagination, from shamanism to the Judeo-Christian Bible, from NDEs to OBEs, from the search from heaven.
What's an OBE?
Out-of-body experience.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
We've played games with crystals, hypnosis, seances, necromancy, and spirit guides, trying to determine if they were true or false.
And what did we determine?
And I'm like, dude, you have dragged me through some serious trauma. You know my past.
This, Matt, to be honest, I feel like you shouldn't read this.
I know. That's why I said there should have been a damn
trigger warning.
A trigger warning for me.
I'm right and you're wrong.
Listen up. Once you start labeling people,
categorizing of humans and ideas,
you have desensitized yourself to the humanity of that other human being,
to who they really are.
And in the marketplace of ideas,
these things are complicated, man.
We all need to engage with a variety of viewpoints.
A genuine multicultural connection with another.
I mean, sometimes you don't need to agree or disagree. You just need to sit with it and digest.
This Choircast podcast episode is brought to you by the Messy Spirituality Podcast. Hey, this is Jason Elam. Join Lola Robbins, Kyle Butler, and me for the Messy Spirituality Podcast, where we try to empower your spiritual evolution with honest conversation about how to be a better human, taking a critical look at toxic Bible stories, and look behind the headlines for growth opportunities underlying current events. Hey, it's a bisexual hairstylist who escaped a cult, a black mystic, and a recovering Southern Baptist preacher. What could possibly go wrong? Check out the Messy Spirituality Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
G'day and welcome back to the Ideas Digest podcast, where we, two just average Aussie blokes, explore challenging ideas outside our echo chamber. Because why? Well, for world peace.
World peace.
World peace. It's, I think, a realistic goal. My name's Conrad.
This is Matt.
Now, if you're a new friend of the show, if you're wondering why our audio might sound like we're coming from a bit far off, it's because we're up here on our moral high horse today. We're going to open our minds to a new idea, and it takes a bit of distance from it to get a bit of perspective. So join us for the journey. Jump up on the moral high horse with us. You might not agree with the idea we explore today, but it doesn't matter because we're just curious, two curious guys.
Yeah, and I think this, particularly this content today, okay, you'll know someone in your life that at least really believes it.
Okay, to the content.
So, yeah.
What? We like, we're an inclusive show. We like boomers listening and we like Gen Z's listening. Obviously, yeah. Millennials, that's us. So we, you know, appeal to that already. TikTok it for the Gen Z's. Have you prepared this? I suspect you haven't. You don't, you're not on TikTok, are you?
No.
Are you on Insta Reels? Are you scrolling many Insta Reels?
No,
I didn't think so. Boomer Matt over here.
No, Twitter. A bit less boomer. Twitter's,
mate. Twitter. Yeah.
Twitter. What about Twitter?
We don't have the concentration span to read 250 characters or whatever
Twitter.
It is.
It's been my go-to these days.
Okay, so here's what you're going to do. Like the cool thing on Insta Reels, actually, it's not that cool anymore, but it's what people were doing. Mm-hmm. It's like people do like little dances. And actually, fun little anecdote. I was at the cafe here in Bali, and just a popular one, Crate Cafe, for you people who know
Instagrammers.
Your Chungu. Yeah. They'd set up like a full-on tripod, and there was probably 50 people in this warehouse eating kind of dinner. It's like a warehouse hangar, kind of cool vibe. And there's a couple. One guy's got like tattoos up to his neck, so he seems like a pretty cool, like tough guy. Mm-hmm. And he is there with his girlfriend, just like, boom, he's dancing for people who can't see me.
Move,
and
by
he's,
the way.
Oh, his hips
for
were
those
like.
Listening, you're missing out on a lot.
His hips were going. Mm-hmm. And they were dancing for maybe 20 minutes. So they were getting the takes. I wish I could find them on TikTok. They were actually maybe friends of the show. I actually took a little video. I'll put it up in our Super Friends chat for people, anyone curious. So anyway, what you've got to do to TikTok it, since you haven't prepared anything, you've got to kind of like, I'll put a soundtrack to it. Mm-hmm. And you've got to kind of like point at things. And then I'll put the captions up, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
It's going to be super dorky.
Ready?
No, I have to still do this at the end because it's going to get
Yeah, you'll do a good one at the end, but I want you to do this because it's funny.
Okay.
Okay. So just imagine there's music going. I don't know what music
is
going to be.
This is terrible.
And then you got to point to like a caption that's going to come up like here. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. And then the next one. Oh, yes. That's perfect. And bang, that one. Okay, that's pretty good. So Matt's just pointing at things and looking up at the sky. Yeah. And I'll put in some summary notes for the TikTok.
I've embarrassed my wife. She may divorce me.
I thought that was pretty good. Okay. I think she'll be proud of you. So that's there. So we'll get to the TikTok at the end of the show. Okay. And because I have no idea what you're really going to talk about this episode.
Oh my God.
But before we get there, review or not a review?
Okay.
I've got a review for you. I've looked it up. You have to decide. Is it real? Is it not? Here we go. 5 stars, obviously. Utter Brilliance is the title. It says, I rarely review anything because I'm too lazy to do so. But now I feel obligated to take time out of my day to say a few words about Ideas Digest because it is just too good not to shout to the world about. Review or not a review? Boy, it's glowing.
Not a review.
How dare you? How dare you? That is a real review.
Yes.
So some friends of the show.
I was hopeful it was. And I was like,
you don't want to get your hopes up?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, respect.
That's amazing.
To who actually, you must have screenshot not the name, but they obviously went to Apple Podcasts. They reviewed the show, gave it 5 stars. Honestly, with every man, celebrity and their dog with the podcast out, if you listen to the show and write a review, really, really helps us.
Huge.
So thank you so much. And obviously already a big thanks to the super friends of the show who went to itisdigest.org, signed up, gave us a bit of coffee money to that Conrad. As real friends of the show know, I don't drink coffee. And they're like, why are you asking for coffee money? I'm like, I might use it for other things.
It's not just for coffee. It's basically for food for Conrad. Yeah. In Canggu.
Yeah.
It gets a Nazi gory.
Yeah. Prices are going up here. I will say that.
Actually, come on.
So thank you for your support, Ideas Digest. So thanks for leaving the reviews. We love the free listeners too. You're very welcome. I now think it's only fair now. Mm-hmm. To hear from the haters, Matt.
Okay.
Each week where as we grow.
This is just like, as I just dive into this heavy topic that's just like I've been wrestling through with.
Here's what you can expect on the other end.
Yeah, okay. At least I'm prepared.
So this one comes in from YouTube. I love the YouTube haters. Peter Plotz says, two people listening to the sound of their own voices and saying nothing. That's you and me, my friend.
Yeah.
That's you and me. How does it make you feel? Actually.
Well, it's sort of like an alter ego. It's sort of like Potts. Like, it could have been like
did
me.
Did you write this yourself?
I was just like, I needed a little snarky comment.
Cut yourself down. Just like, Matthew Potts. Is that your dad?
Yeah, could be. No.
Oh, Peter Plotz.
Yeah, Plotz.
Plotz. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, we might break down how this make me feel for the super friends. But yeah. Hey, haters, it's good to hear from you because guess what? Haters are just friends of the show that don't know it yet.
Mm.
And so stick around and we'll make you like us. If you don't, we'll try harder. So thanks for any review, any feedback. We have minted a war with the algorithm because we need controversy. We need an enemy. Otherwise, the algorithm doesn't take us seriously.
Yeah.
Some people make fun of like the other tribe, some like in the abortion debate, it's super easy to be like, oh, these bloody pro-lifers, pro-choices. So we had to mint one. We've minted one against the algorithm because they divide us, they brainwash us. Mm. They're the real enemy. So a bit of an update. In order for us as Ideas Digest friends of the show, in order to fight the algorithm, when you're hearing this episode, you can, to help us join our front lines of the war effort, send it to a friend who you think might enjoy the episode. Go, hey. You might agree with this or you might like it. That's really good. That's an easy one. People go, hey, thanks for the share. The real breaker of the bubble, of the echo chamber bubble.
Yeah.
You got to send it to someone who won't enjoy it.
Yeah.
So friend of the show this week has sent through a screenshot.
Yes.
And they've got a text message saying, hey, here's the link to the episode. And this one they were sending the link to Brenda, the Christian pro-choicer.
Okay.
That we had on a few weeks ago. Great friend of the show. Interesting
been
chat.
An interesting one, depending who you're sharing that with. That's going to be spicy.
Well, old mate Sam here sent it to his dad. And get this.
Hopefully he says, dad's on the liberal end of the spectrum.
Nah. He says, hey, check out this overly woke progressive true Christian trying to defend abortion. Was an interesting listen.
Whoa.
How's that? It's like, hey, I know you're not going
to
like this.
I'd love to have seen the dad's face. You can imagine, right?
Do you think he listened?
He'd just be like, he's like raid mode. Just be like,
a Christian is pro-choice? I don't know about this.
What's his name? Was it Sam?
Sam.
Yeah, I'd be like, Sam just didn't raise him correctly.
Well,
it was that private school I sent him to.
All those fees. Yeah. Bloody liberal brainwashing our kids. You can also check that out on YouTube, by the way. We have a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, which you may or may not be, I know podcast listeners, this isn't for you, but YouTubers, You got to subscribe to this.
Even still, like, come.
Oh, yeah, come to YouTube.
Just come to YouTube and click subscribe, the notification bell, and the like button.
Yes, and you'll see us.
This is part of the war effort against the algorithm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It is. So, it really.
It's just like back in the day when I just like, you know, say, it wasn't just one thing, Conrad, like buying war bonds. It was like, you know, let's put together containers for troops on the front lines. That's so you got to do multiple things.
Car factories into tank factories.
Yeah. So you have to do multiple things for us. So it's like,
I mean, we're all in this fight together. So yes. We really appreciate your support on the war effort. So this week, we have some success from the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
We broke through an echo chamber this week.
Yes.
So, and this is thanks to friend of the show, Monica, who was a secular pro-lifer, which I really respect Monica. She's very open to the discussion. Yeah,
really
debate.
Well thought out lady.
I'm sure you probably heard the episode and maybe you got that impression as well. We did.
So, and if you're possibly triggered by that sort of content, it's not how it sounds if you haven't listened.
Yeah, she's actually really aware of the arguments against it. She's not overly dogmatic.
Yeah.
And she offers a great argument whilst understanding that people don't agree.
I think she's a great entry. If you're just thinking of having that, you probably will have that conversation soon with someone. So I think she was just like, a safe place to listen to what that sounds like.
Definitely. And so thanks to Monica, we did an Instagram post team up.
Boom.
And so I can like tag them and say, hey, we both posted this. And thanks to Monica, she said yes and posted it. So it popped up on her feed and my feed. Sure. And boy, the comments blew up.
Yeah.
They like the collision of two echo chamber bubbles. Just like, oh, how dare you? Oh, as if, oh, pro-life, anyone, it's murder. Like it was nice and eventful.
It was like, I imagine being the geek, you know, like I played like Warhammer and that growing up. Yeah. So I'm imagining like this war against the algorithm of just like push too many troops this way, too many troops that way. And it's just like red and blue is just blowing up.
Red and blue, yeah. So the Gen Zs, remember Clash of Clans is their reference point. I don't know anything about Clash of Clans, but I guess you're like tapping that phone screen.
They're dragging the troops around and trying to defend
it. Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. Okay, we'll better do some homework on that.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, showing our age. Okay, so thanks to everyone in your war efforts. It's much appreciated. So let's get comfy in the high horse saddle. I have no idea what you're going to talk to me about. Is there a warning that you need to give me before this?
I wish there was a warning for me before I read this book.
Okay, what do you wish you had the warning on?
I wish there was a disclaimer of like, dear Matt.
Yeah.
I see, I carry this book around Europe and I didn't pick it up. Like I heard about this
guy's
story.
You put it in your pack.
I put it in my pack.
Checked luggage guy.
Physically carry this thing around for a long time. Even my wife's like, are you ever going to do that? Read that book? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. And then I'd read a few pages of it. And I was like, yeah, this is pretty funny. This is going to be some good content because the context of why I'm looking at this particular book is that we have done a hell episode where hell wasn't real.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's unfair because we had some lot of haters come on.
Hell wasn't real and you can get to heaven.
Yeah, easy.
Just, it's easy, guys.
But then I wanted to be like, no, that's not fair for those that actually believe in hell. And I'm like, I need to immerse myself in this idea that hell is actually real.
You need to give it some legitimacy.
Yeah. And what evidence is there for that? Okay. Is there evidence?
Because a lot of people believe it.
Yeah.
Vehemently.
Is it just a theological thing or people actually have, no, this is, have actually people have been, have they maybe tasted hell?
So what's the warning? It makes you scared?
Not that. I think if you come, I think this is a personal, you would say, warning for Matt Potts. It would be like, this connects every single one of your dots that you have little T trauma experienced before.
Okay. And so religious.
Yeah, I think I think you'll understand as this thing unpacks, this is a wild freaking
ride.
Journey. I thought I was in for something simple and fun.
Okay.
And I was like, we're going to have a joke around this.
Okay, hell, this guy. Yeah. You can be like, as if hell's real.
Yeah, but
what if for a moment.
We'll throw around some, like, I heard, like, you'll hear this guy's story in a second.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, yeah, we'll just have some fun with that and look at the theological implications and us and our high horse would.
Yeah.
But I went there with my
just
high
gallop
horse.
Gallop through the field.
And it was just like.
The horse stumbles. You fall off the horse.
I fell off the horse.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to be up on my high horse and it cut me down.
Okay. Well, I'm tying myself into the saddle here, friends of the show.
No, Liberal Conrad's going to be like.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is my anticipation.
So maybe atheist friends of the show are going to, it's going to be interesting and they're not going to be.
Yeah, I think they'll find it. Because this guy that actually didn't believe in hell was an agnostic. And
now he believes in hell.
Yeah. And he's a medical doctor, cardiologist.
Oh, so he's got some creds.
He's got some creds.
Oh, all right.
Ex-doctor of the presidents.
Okay. Well, let me, before we get cracking, I'm going to confess my Liberal Conrad biases. Yeah. You kind of counted one. I'm like, I bet this guy is some kind of pastor or he's had some experience where he experienced hell, and maybe it's kind of all in his head and it's just how he's experienced it, which can be a legitimate thing. I'm like, is he some evangelical fire and brimstone kind of pastor that incentive structures of, he's just been a pastor of a church and of course he believes in hell because his community does and it's culturally. Is this guy American?
Yep.
Evangelical American?
Yeah, you'll find out.
Okay. All right. So there's some of my biases.
It's actually never clear in the book.
Maybe a Trump voter?
He's dead. So.
Okay. Pre-Trump.
Pre-Trump.
Okay. All right. Well, that's kind of all I got.
Yeah.
So I've biases off my chest. I'm open and I'm on my horse. Let's go.
Conrad.
To hell and back.
To hell and back.
To literal hell and back.
To literal hell and back. Maurice Rawlings. Let's read out his CV because I think many of maybe the Sam Harris's of the crowd would be thinking, oh, here we go.
Some like big tent pastor.
Big tent railing pastor guy. Yep. Needs more signups, basically.
Yep.
So he lived from 1922 to 2010, actually. So
2010?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was an American cardiologist and author. And he served during World War II, US Navy, during the Korean War, and the US Army. Rawlings was a doctor of President Eisenhower, which is a famous US president, and joint chiefs of staff. So he was assistant clinical professor of medicine at the University of Tennessee.
He's up there.
Yep. Super into flying as well, a bit of a pilot geek. It was really interesting. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. Pick it up, give it a read. This will be fun. This will be fun to see the opposite side of things.
Yeah, okay. That sounds fun.
So I'm like, but little did I know, Conrad, little did I know this book was going to take me on quite the journey.
Okay.
Because it just starts off with this typical Christian conversion story.
Oh, okay.
But it ends and goes into some weaving things of the New Age movement.
Oh, no.
We even touch Star Wars.
No.
We touch.
Obviously not the new series.
We touch UFOs.
UFOs.
And I promise this had nothing to do with me knowing anything about UFOs. It's the final chapter. I didn't know until the end. And then I was like, when it was about UFOs, I was like, yes.
I knew they were real.
This guy, like, so I wanted to read that out and then reveal that because I think many people would be judging prematurely that this guy's a bit crazy, but.
He's got some creds.
He's got some creds. He's obviously a smart guy. Yeah. So let's just dive into his story. So Maurice, he's just an agnostic guy.
Okay.
You know, had left God behind.
So he grew up Christian.
I think, you know, in loosely. A rough, loose cultural Christian way.
One Catholic or something.
And so he was, a successful cardiologist. He was just into self-help, basically. He was just, you just basically, grit your way through life and you get through it, right?
Yeah.
He'd seen plenty of people die. He wasn't really afraid of dying. It was just part of life as a cardiologist, right? Like people right on the edge. And but one day, Conrad, he's walking around and he's like, ooh, a bit of pain in my chest.
Mm-hmm. Cardiologist, that's a bit bad.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, okay. I think it might be a bit of stress.
Yep.
A lot of things aren't at work. And then he's like, no, this is quite bad. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, okay, I probably need to get myself to the hospital. Drives himself to the hospital. So he's going to the hospital and he's trying to do all the right things, but he's like, there's a high percentage of people that die on the way to the hospital.
Yeah,
so
he's driving himself, is he?
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, and that's actually a high, P.S. by the way, a high statistic of people to die because of that exact
getting themselves, wow.
Yeah. So he was saying, don't follow my guides here. And so it's getting so bad. Gets in the hospital. He's like, okay, at least I'm here. But the pain at this point is just getting unbearable. Like his chest is just, it's like there's knives going into his chest. Like
his heart's doing something.
It's like he doesn't care anymore about being a proper doctor anymore. He is just like, help. Like he started screaming out. He's just in so much pain. And at that point, he's, this is 40 years as a cardiologist.
Okay.
So he's like, is this it?
He knows the process. He's
He's like, I'm in a bit of trouble here. Okay. And and he's like, is this maybe humanists are right and this is going to be nothing? This is it.
He's still agnostic at this point.
Yeah, like he's like, well, then at that point he's just like, I'm trying to hold it all together. Mm-hmm. And then it calms down. He's like, oh, okay, cool. I got there. I faced death and it felt pretty good. The next day, 24 hours later.
So he's in the hospital and he's being treated.
His heart starts going crazy again. Yeah. Pain starts going, he starts screaming. He's woken up to like, he's got like a catheter in him. He's just got like things are beeping and like the nurses are trying to calm him down. And at this point, bang, he sees the light. He goes into hyperspace.
Do you go towards the light or not?
He's heading towards the light. And then he's just like, he goes through, he's like, he sees these past scenes in his life.
Right.
Yep. So he sees.
I've heard that's common.
Yeah. So let's call it like a life review.
Yeah.
Very common in NDEs. Need
near-death experiences near-death for experiences. The uninitiated.
Sorry. I've been in this. I've just immersed myself in this. You're just going to way too hope, like, you know, obsessive Matt. So he's seen some things in the bathtub where he almost died with his dad. He's seen like there's another time in his life he almost drowned.
Mm.
And then like he's like, okay, this is it. Doesn't feel too bad.
Okay.
And then bang, he's back.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. He's just like, whoa. And he's back and he's got like he's back in his consciousness.
I'm imagining some kind of ER scrubs kind of doco. Doctor says some kind of quip like, oh, we'll get him back. Like anything.
Yeah. But it was just as he died, he makes the point in his book. He's like, my self-esteem thing, my whole like, you know, just building myself up as a doctor, like I didn't need God, fell to pieces. And as I'm reading this book, I'm like, oh, interesting. This is a bit of a deconstructing of his own thing. He said, what I needed wasn't self-esteem.
Oh.
It was God esteem.
That's catchy.
Sorry, we've got to hold it together. I love it. Like, I love this part.
I can just imagine. Just it's something like, God bless my dad. Great guy. I feel like dad would say something like that. And I just,
I'm like, it was super cute.
And then he'd probably think like, oh, a youth pastor's got to pick that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, I'm really proud of this.
Twitter's not invented yet.
Yeah,
but
you
like,
could. Yeah.
You could tweet that one.
Yeah. 2010, it might have been good early days.
I just laughed my head off when I read that. I was going to try and tell it to you in a straight face.
And then we're not making fun of anyone.
No.
That's just a funny.
It's just like a really.
God esteem. I think, Robbie, well done.
But I'm like, as someone reading the book, I'm like, oh, come on. Like I was trying to like, you sort of like, you're revealing your hand quite quickly as to what's happening
that's
here.
That's fair. He's when he says that, you go, okay, he's trying to convert me to be a Christian because of his experience.
I'm
he
like,
kind of, yeah.
I'm smelling the agenda. To his credit, he had written a best-selling book before this.
Okay.
It's called Beyond Death's Door. So this is his follow-up book. Ooh. And I think it went viral in the Christian NDE circles.
Hence the sequel.
Yeah,
Money demands
so
it.
So then he's like, this is my evangelism book. That's basically what I picked up. Which at that point I'm like, whatever. But little did I know where this man was going to lead me. And
I'm getting some inklings that he's going to lead me to convert me to be a Christian.
Well, I want to take you directly. Mm-hmm. Like I thought I was going to have to tell you this story. And I went searching, friends of the show, guys, like
you did
put some
research.
Serious research into this.
Matt doesn't research in halves. Conrad's cool with the flyover. Matt sees the rabbit hole and goes, oh, that could take a few hours.
And this freaking thing
dives in.
Yep. So let's go straight to that, the point where it all changed for him.
Oh, man. Yes. Let's go to YouTube. My favorite.
And this is where the great majority of the people that have true experiences occur.
He's talking about NDEs.
One of the cases.
Can I just describe the scene for people listening? He's dressed well. Like I would wear that actually. He's wearing like a gray suit with baggier pants. It's in right now, but there's this faint blue light and there's these sheer white, like almost what a bride would wear as a veil, and he's surrounded. It's almost like if heaven was on low budget.
Yeah.
It's Jesus welcoming people to the overflow section going, oh, heaven's a bit full right now. Just wait in this room. And it's quite a large stage and he's in the center of it.
So as you can see, he actually went around the country doing talk shows, doing actual live events.
Big in America.
Talking about these specific events that you're about to hear.
Okay.
7-year-old. Mail carrier. He was having chest pain. We took him to the office, put him on a treadmill, and started the treadmill until he got his chest pain again. He was attached to an EKG. The EKG went haywire. We knew he had chest pain. Before we could stop the machine, he dropped dead.
He's telling doctor stories.
Unfortunate.
Right?
Only 1 in 5,000 do that.
So they're running tests on this guy.
EKG stress test. But when he dropped dead, he had a very peculiar situation.
So his heart stopped.
He convulsed like most people do when they first die, and the heart stops supplying blood to the brain. Eyes rolled up, sputtered, turned blue, stopped breathing.
The piano in the background.
I started IV. I started external heart massage. The strangest thing happened when I would stop resuscitating to put in a pacemaker.
When I came to,
he's going.
Dr. Allen said my hair was literally
external
standing
heart
on
massage.
The end, and my eyes had already started dilating. And I was absolutely
and this is the guy.
This is the guy.
Absolutely scared to death. was horrified. My life was...
Sorry.
A big hell transition there that you missed out on.
There was, yeah, he cut from a photo of the guy who was giving his story, and yeah, then flames flew across the screen.
Which I loved. I was into this when I was like, Conrad's going to love this video. And friends of the show, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, well done.
And when I came to, Charles Alex was giving a CPR. And he asked me what's the matter because I was looking so scared and so forth. And I told him I'd been to hell, I needed help. And he said, well, keep your health to yourself. I'm a doctor, I'm trying to save your life. Mm-hmm. You need a minister for that. As he was giving me CPR, he was trying to install a pacemaker with the other.
This guy talking died.
And done with one, I would fade out. And then he'd start again and bring me back. I watched what was going on, like some people say I was floating in air or up on the ceiling. I was up above it and could look down and see things. And I kept asking, please help me, please help me. I don't want to go back to hell. And
yeah, he gave me a bit of a Sam Harris response at the time. He's just like, talk to your minister, mate. I'm here to save your life.
He's like, well, I'll keep you out of hell as best I can.
Like, my wife, Sarah, would say the exact same thing in that circumstance.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Not heartlessly. She would just be like logical, calm, and just be like, we're here to save your life.
He's a doctor. That's what you want to hear from a doctor. Like, hey, I'm going to try to save your life first and foremost.
And at that time, he said, say this short prayer after
the
me.
Doctor said that.
I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
He'll just save my soul and keep me alive. I'll be on hook for you forever.
And if I die, please keep me out of hell.
Simple, maybe effective.
And after that, the other experiences was real pleasant. I saw my stepmother, my mother. My mother passed away when I was about 5 months old.
Adventists would have a problem with this. Yeah,
I never saw a photograph of her. And I was able to recognize who she was.
Yeah. Resolution? Or they're hurrying him up? Yeah, I'm on, mate.
I'm on.
Just hanging on. Before.
It was a Pentecostal church.
Yeah, like, let's go.
The stage manager's going.
Yeah. So he was going to hell, and then he said the words, and now he's kind of going to heaven.
Exactly. And so this is the crazy thing is.
But he's clearly not in heaven.
So he's the way that it was told in the book. It's better to hear it from him.
Okay. Because that's the guy.
Because that is the guy.
In the book, he's talking about that guy.
Yeah. So it happened multiple times. He's just like, God, he's just like, dude, keep it together. And as he's giving him the CPR, he was getting annoyed at him. He's just like, I'm literally trying to save your life. Like, go talk to a minister. But as he gives that CPR and he saves his life, saying the sinner's prayer with that guy as he was dying, dragging him out of hell spiritually, saved him at the same time.
Oh, because now he believes.
Not because of the hell thing. He just had a mystical experience.
Through that guy. Because he's like, felt like he's pulling the guy out of hell.
Saying the sinner's prayer at the same time. Because he's like, repeat after me.
Oh, and he said it. Did he mean to?
No.
Is it a hack? Like he says it, he's like, oh, I'm saved now. Crap, I didn't even mean
Conrad, this is one of the many questions that happen in this book that you're going to like not try and solve.
Okay, yeah.
So let me get my notes back.
Okay, so this guy is giving CPR and the guy like comes to, he's like, man, I've just been in hell. And he's like, crap. And he's like dropping out again and he comes back and the guy's like, oh, say this sinner's prayer. He's like, I don't want to go back to hell. He's giving CPR and then he's like, oh, I believe in Jesus. The evangelical version of getting saved. And then he's like, okay, I believe in Jesus. And then all of a sudden, as he's dropping in and out now, he's going to almost heaven. So it's like, if he's a yo-yo, he's like going from middle soul to like yo-yoing down to hell. Oh, doctor saves his life. I don't want to go back. Oh, no, back he goes. Hey, say this in his prayer. Oh, almost to heaven. And obviously he lived.
Exactly. And then this is what you hear at the end. Once he said that prayer, he saw his like dead loved ones and everything went peaceful.
But he lived.
And he lived. Yeah, he lived to actually a long age. So like Maurice doing this is changed. He's a changed man.
Right. So that was the moment
he got saved. He can't explain it. Like I've tried to, we'll link in the show notes if you want to watch this entire near-death experience. I mean,
just for the piano alone.
The piano is amazing. But that changed his life and he just went on this NDE thing. Like he's just like, is it like, I guess he was a bit skeptical and he was just like.
Yeah.
I'm sort of putting that in. But like, I think he was.
He accidentally saved himself.
He accidentally saved himself. And then he went on this massive deep dive of NDEs.
Okay.
Led to his best-selling book. But Yeah. So have you studied any like NDEs at all? Have you?
You know, most of my study I don't do. YouTube algorithms is what I do.
So people have done some studies on this. So 60% of people, like, there's done some 11 million reported cases of this at least. This is back in
people who almost die and come back and say, "Yo, something happened after I died."
And obviously, there's a few explanations for that, but things get a little bit stranger when you're outside your body and you precisely explain what's happening in the room.
When so we, you shouldn't be because you're technically unconscious.
And we did that episode of Anita, right? Anita Munjani. Go back and listen to that. And that for her was a very positive experience. So she got healed, but she actually, what they can't explain with her was her healing and the fact that she
healed herself of her cancer. And the doctors were like, what?
And she was describing what was happening in the room.
Yeah.
She described what doctors were doing down the hallway. So there's obviously a whole spectrum of this.
Yeah.
He deep dives and he does a massive deep dive into it. And what he's confused about is that why, Conrad, is there all these positive NDE cases?
Mm.
Because I saved this guy from hell.
Oh.
What about the hell
NDE
experiences? What's going on? Like, is there a reason why people don't report on hell? Could you just guess?
Because they don't want to let anyone know they're going to hell. And then they're scared. They wake up and go, oh, it was just a dream. It was just chemicals in my head as I almost died. Hell's still not real.
Fuel. So he feels at this point he's uncovered something big. Much bigger than you can imagine, Conrad.
Well,
because people like Anita are part of a deception.
Oh, no.
Because they all think they're seeing the light. But is it really the light?
Oh, man. So, okay, you're saying that he's saying that all these people who think they're going to heaven. Okay, now this, actually, I'm going to say this fits like a glove, this worldview. I'm just judging it a little bit. Mid got to get out of my system. I'm on the high horse. I've slipped off. So he's now saying that all these people, because, okay, generally people who believe in hell, generally, stereotyping, judging here, most people don't make it to heaven. And you know what? You're all going to hell because you're not like me. It sounds like this guy's saying a little bit like this, being like, Anita Munjani, if she doesn't believe my version, then the heaven that experienced her that healed her, all of a sudden that was hell and that was the devil that healed her and she's an agent of Satan.
Yep. TLDR. But it's more in depth than this.
Okay, no, okay. Judgment
okay,
out.
Okay, let's go back.
Let me get back in, okay.
So he goes into this NDE literature and basically he goes into that part of the Bible where, you know, don't be deceived because even Satan can appear as an angel of light. Yep. And so the whole light motif he sees,
Gabriel.
No, he was the
angel of light, wasn't it? No, Gabriel's the good guy. Lucifer was the archangel.
But the point is saying he can appear as an angel of light. So,
which, if we're connecting episodes, if you remember the episode we did.
Whoa!
I don't know if you heard that.
If you heard that.
You didn't, these mics are too good. Thunder just rolled.
Oh, and there's thunder later in this.
Because I was about to mention. No, I'm scared.
Oh, don't. This is probably a trauma.
I'm sweating a little bit. Because I was about to mention. I don't even want to say it.
Do it. Do it.
You know the episode we did with the Adventist guy who was like, I was talking to Satan himself and I was, I got the tingles.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
right?
Because I guess if you go back and listen to that episode, it was the same sort of thing. It's like the devil's plan.
Roger Morneau.
That was the episode. The Satan's real. I can't remember what the title of that episode was. But all right then. So everyone's deceived. And this is the state of fear, Matt, that people express they feel. I also did an episode with Thomas who spoke about his trauma growing up believing in hell.
Yeah.
Where he couldn't sleep. And every time he was having a good day, he'd be like, I'm going to hell. And he just had so much trauma. And so that's an interesting episode as well to see the other side of the belief on the person. Mm. But all right, I'm scared. I'm sweating a little bit.
And then talking about thunder, right? So he's with his mate.
Oh, crap.
This is 100% legit as well. So he's with his mate, Dr. Jerry Jones. And they're talking about, this guy's an agnostic actually. So he doesn't buy into fully Maurice's full blown idea about all of this. And basically, they're having a discussion about this. And this guy's an agnostic. And his idea is a little bit, which was funny. It was just like, maybe God's like this super intelligence, you know, just this energy. And obviously, he's like,
which is Anita Munjani.
Yeah. It's sort of the drop box God.
Yeah, your Dropbox.
A few friends of the show.
If prayer works, it's the Dropbox God.
We hope it's not Dropbox.
Hey, I have a friend who really doesn't like that you don't like Dropbox, but anyway.
Whatever. Use Google Cloud. It's way better. So, and he's like, he's putting this together with his friend. And even the agnostic guy's like, maybe you're right. Maybe this is a deception. Because he's pitching him. He's going, this light thing, I don't think it's all good.
Oh, crap.
This is all part of deception.
Oh, crap.
And then he said with dramatic effect, there was lightning in the background.
It was. He's written a book.
He's like, and it added to the impact of the statement.
Do you think he just added that in?
No, I think it's real. He's like, there was thunder.
He could just write this in.
And added to the severity of the situation.
Well, I mean.
I know. All right. So here we are.
What are the odds?
I know. So, okay. So he starts digging right down into this literature. And 1980, so he becomes a bit of a celebrity with this book. And very famous within Christian circles of this near-death experience.
Yeah, he's doing
phenomena.
These cool talks on this stage.
Yeah,
everywhere,
talking around the country. The yeah. And so anyway, he starts talking to this lady, actually, really attractive lady. And she's talking about vibrations. This is 1980, right? So this is before
early days.
The Secret and all that. She's talking about vibrations and like
we're
cosmic
all energy.
Consciousness and stuff like that. So, and he's just picking up some weird vibes from it. So in the side part of the show, he's just chatting to her. She's lighting up a cigar. Mm. You know, she's like, yeah. So
cigar.
She's like,
classy.
It's all about like global planetary paradigm. You know, it's all about the age of enlightenment and like this, you would say transpersonal psychology and all that sort of stuff. And he's just like, he's hearing these things. Buzzwords. Yeah. Buzzwords, right. In the 80s. And he has this thing in the back of his brain as well. He's connected to his mate with the thunder and lightning. He's just like, if Satan put him in an angel of light, then all these people could be swept up in this global deception.
And Satan is just cherry picking the best for hell. He's like, you come to hell and you come to hell.
Exactly. And this is all bullshit. And so he tells this story. This is the weirdest story. But I thought I'd include it in there for the friends of the show. This is a guy dancing. So he's treating this guy.
He's probably killing it on TikTok.
Killing it on TikTok. He's dancing. Boof, boof. And this chick comes up and he's dancing and he's like, what's up? And then he's just like, wait a second. Something's a bit different about you.
No.
Yeah, she's not a chick.
He put that in there.
Yeah.
This is 80s though.
I know. I'm like, very like cancel culture.
You cancel that. You anyway, get ass canceled.
I know. But then, okay. So he's just telling a story of this guy, right? So the guy then tries to beat this chick up. I know.
Hang on. Who's dancing?
Not him. Sorry. Oh. Not him.
I was like,
the guy,
wow.
The story.
And
patient.
Then I beat him up.
No. He's telling a story of a patient.
Oh, so the patient is dancing.
Yeah, I should have explained that.
And then a transgender woman comes up to him.
Yes.
And then the patient tries to bash her, which was very common. Once again, if we're linking episodes, friend of the show, Tony, if I can remember his last name, A Life of Gay Conversion Therapy. Right. He's in Bali. I'm going to catch up with him.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, he was talking about growing up gay in the 80s and he casually was like, oh yeah, we'd get bashed. And I was like, this is hectic to hear. So anyway, I'm like just connecting dots.
So, this guy chases this girl out in the car park.
Yep.
Girl's panicking, pulls out a gun, bang, 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 shoots him three times.
Oh my.
So this guy.
Whoa.
Yeah. This guy rocks up.
Well, he's definitely going to hell though.
Yeah. So, and he rocks up at the hospital and he explains, I went out of my body and I saw this light and blah, blah, blah. And Maurice, you know, he's like the doctor.
So he's the doctor treating this guy, three bullet wounds.
Oh, yeah, come on. So what did you see?
Yeah, he's got his notebook. All the other doctors are like, I'm on duty, but what'd you see?
What was the light?
How bright?
Thunder and lightning?
How many nits are we talking?
Yeah, we're talking like HDR or like Google. And the guy's just like, and then this funny part in the book where he's just like, this guy had a pretty positive out-of-body experience. He's just like, oh, I saw myself and, you know, I saw like there was only love and acceptance and
you're transphobe. No way. You're off to hell.
Exactly. This guy's thinking, must be a bit of judgment in here, buddy.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, and then he asks him the question. He's just like, so why don't you think, you didn't feel bad about your shooting? The guy's like, you're right. I just bashed up that person, that trans person.
I tried to.
And what about the other guys I shot? Maybe you're right. You're onto something. Maybe it wasn't the light. It was just a little anecdote story. And I'm like,
oh, he came around quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. My suspension of disbelief has ended with this guy's level of self-awareness. He goes, these women are worthy of being bashed. And then all of a sudden the doctor's like, hey, you know, it's a bad thing. Yeah. You're right. Okay.
Anyway, I thought
he came near death. Things can change. Back into it.
Okay. So it was just so funny how it was written out in the book of just like
drops it in there.
You might be right. Yeah.
So this guy is master persuader. Lightning comes in. Anyway, it could have happened.
Crazy story, right? Weird.
Very weird, very crazy.
Anyway, but the reason why I include that story, it's clearly indicating his bias and how, and perhaps even his interactions and his bias he's putting on some of the people he's talking to.
You can see the lens of his story on how he's telling the events.
But I'm sort of glad in that circumstance he did bring up a bit of judgment. I'm like, this guy needs a bit of self-awareness.
Yeah.
So he then goes in and going, okay, let's out-of-body experiences. How long has this been happening and why is it happening more so recently? And have you heard of a guy called Timothy Leary?
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, Timothy Leary. So depending on your drug use of the show, he is a famous, he's basically the father of the LSD movement.
Okay.
So Harvard doctor.
All right.
Anyway, interesting guy. So we could do a whole episode on this guy. This guy has actually lived the craziest life. He's bringing him into the story because he believes that LSD and drugs that channel these out-of-body experiences are actually really bad. Timothy Leary, experimenting with all this stuff, he goes to Mexico and he basically takes his massive dose of shrooms and he says, I learned more about his brain and its possibilities and more about psychology in the 5 hours after taking those mushrooms than the preceding 15 years of studying and doing research. So I first heard about this guy years ago because I was at a pastor's camp and someone was telling me about the fact that this guy ran experiments on theological students and got them to watch Easter services on TV and gave half of them LSD. And then
how did they get a bunch of theology students?
I know. They didn't know. They're just like,
hey,
sure,
you want a good
doctor.
Time? Hey, it's like
these guys are tripping and they all rate it as one of the most spiritual experiences they've ever had.
You want to take communion?
I know.
Oh, these aren't wafers. Don't worry about
that. So he got involved. He got involved with prisoners and stuff. I mean, you can go on this like Rogan's fan. Like there's so much stuff you can like dig into this guy's life.
Like,
Eventually he did this stuff, but it got too controversial. That was him and what's the guy's Albert, which became Ram Dass. Have you heard of Ram Dass? I read one of his books recently.
Ram Dass.
So
guru guy.
Before he was a guru, he was a psychologist guy teaching at Harvard as well. Huh. And they were doing lots of LSD. Ram Dass is bisexual. They start doing quirky stuff. All of them start taking heaps of drugs and basically Harvard boots them out.
That's why they became gurus.
Yeah, yeah. But in this whole dark and this whole like twisted process, Conrad, during that thing, this is a huge point you need
to
understand.
Is this in the book?
Yeah, this is in the book.
Oh.
I know, because this is a guy who goes down these rabbit holes, right?
How does he know though?
Okay, well this is semi well known information because they went and transliterated the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is a Buddhist
text
from Tibet, and it's basically about the ritual of death. The manual outlining. So they basically then use that book and then twist it into how to take LSD. And it's called The Psychedelic Experience. Became super famous.
Huh.
But it's all based upon...
Should we read
New
that?
New Age. Do you want to hear more thunder? New Age. The New Age of encountering this cosmic energy, karma, God, Brahma. Like this whole this is what it was all battled up in. But did you know, Conrad?
No.
This freaked me out when I heard it.
Okay.
That Timothy Leary is connected to Aleister Crowley.
I don't know who Aleister Crowley is.
Oh my God. This is pointing out the fact that you just live this really, all your quips and stuff that you're just drumming at church and just, hey guys, be a little like Jesus.
Yep, that's it. The end. Hey, let's give a sermon. Jesus loves everyone. The end. Conrad's upbringing.
So Crowley's basically one of the founding occultists. We'll do a whole episode on this guy.
Is he like a Roger Morneau, but for like non-Adventists?
Yes, for Satanism.
Oh, is he the head of the Satanic Church?
He sort of helped start like the Satanic movement. He did a lot of things. A lot of famous people.
I am curious to get a Satanist.
He actually died a drug addict. Yeah, he died a drug addict. But, you know, famous musos, like all bought his old houses, got his books, bought up his stuff. I'm talking Hendrix and all that. They were really into it. Like it's
Hendrix. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's a lot we could go into there. But did you know Timothy Leary thought he was connected to Aleister Crowley?
Crowley had hoped to get his disciples into influential positions in America to influence the masses. One such disciple was former Harvard professor turned drug guru, Timothy Leary. Timothy Leary, the defunct Harvard professor, led the drug revolution in the 1960s as he handed out mescaline and LSD like it was candy to the youth. This in turn opened up the hippie youth of the West to the pagan demonic gods of the East, who were also promoted by Aleister Crowley.
I like how this guy sounds like a surfer. Yeah, bro.
We can see here that Timothy Leary is under a painting which bears the number of the Antichrist, 666, who is prophesied to rule the world until he's destroyed by Christ at Armageddon. Timothy Leary claimed that he came to the realization that he was to usher in Crowley's new age when he was using Crowley's tarot cards. Leary asked the question, who am I and what is my destiny? Leary claims that he then cut to the Ace of Discs. Robert Anton Wilson declared, this shows a large disc bearing the Greek letters to Megatherion, the great beast. Leary interpreted this to mean that he is Crowley reborn and is supposed to complete the work Crowley began. On a PBS interview, Timothy Leary let his hair down and admitted that he was carrying on Satanist Aleister Crowley's work and that the 1960s is when the...
P.S. If you're watching this on YouTube... You have to watch this show that these guys produce. It's like it's a thing about rock and roll is bringing in Satanism thing. These are the good five ministries.
Because it's very narrated like Discovery Channel. He's in the wilderness alone and there's only one animal to eat between seven of them. That's what it sounds like.
The plan began to come to fruition.
Well, I've been an admirer of Aleister Crowley. I think that I'm carrying on much of the work that he started over 100 years ago, and I think the 60s themselves. You know, Crowley said he was in favor of finding your own self and do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law under love. It was a very powerful statement. I'm sorry he isn't around now to appreciate the glories that he started.
As Satan guided Crowley, Crowley declared that his writings were to be, quote, circulated among the young, end quote. Crowley predicted that America would pick up, quote, a few axioms on which a working majority can agree, a few dogmas which it could rally. Do what thou wilt, of course, became do your own thing, and if it feels good, do it in the 1960s.
YOLO.
Timothy Leary came up with a few of his own.
He looked out at that crowd and he said, turn on, tune in,
that's right,
and drop out.
Turn on.
This is an 80s thing?
Tune in. And drop out.
We're turned on, and we're tuned in, and we're very dropped out.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Turn on, tune in.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out became turn on, tune in, and take over. As the easily led Crowleyan youth culture was deceived into believing that they had received spiritual enlightenment, when in fact they had swung the door open to Satan.
Okay, can I just point out
the
they're playing footage here
Satan
of people protesting against the Vietnam War. So I'm like that footage of like people being anti-war. Not the greatest, strongest thing for your case.
Should be cloaked under the lie of love, and he believed the youth would fall
for it.
If Timothy Leary was Crowley's drug guru of the 1960s, Leary dubbed John Lennon and the Beatles as the four evangelists. The Beatles wrote the song Come Together as a campaign song for Leary's hopeful presidential bid that, thank God, never got off the ground.
Not the Beatles.
You know, that's a lot of those songs they wrote on LSD.
Well, they're rock stars. Okay, the logos of this kind of video is what it'd be like if Alex Jones also had no budget? And he was just using word art to like drop good fight kind of ministries in there. Okay, so I got to try and summarize what I received from that because...
We could spend a lot of time on it. Do you want me to give this quick TLDR?
Yeah, just re-summarize it for me because it's like he's name dropping, then he's forcing things together and it's like, yeah, but he said this one thing.
That footage there was Leary under that 666 thing. And like
okay, so Leary's sitting there talking and then behind him is this massive painting with this Jesus Christ looking figure with
a lot of occult symbology.
With the 666 above his head and little horns on old Jesus' head there.
Basically this psychedelic thing was helped usher in this this new age with like bad things like the feminist movement and stuff that came out of it.
Okay, let's leave how this is used to say how feminism and like
I know.
Gay rights and, not treating.
The causation and association thing is a bit off, but
like
let's just.
The
let's,
leaps.
Let's try and just stick to what he's trying to say.
Like
he's trying
to say Wrangle, okay. Can you just wrangle that clip into like a coherent.
Wrangle book into what he's trying to say, which is basically that the TLDR is that this exposed, people didn't understand what they're doing. That by taking these, particularly, LSD, when they learn to like really increase it, that what they were exposing themselves to was a lot of false doctrine.
Okay.
So when people have these experiences on mushrooms where, you know, you talk to people that have done it or whatever, you can Google it, they often feel this connection to a cosmic energy, yes, a oneness with
which
the universe.
Which is the devil, I hear.
Exactly.
And so what
Timothy Leary, yeah, connected to Aleister Crowley, thought he was carrying on his mission to take this doctrine of Satanism to the world through LSD.
Okay. And through rock music. And through feminism.
To be fair, it wasn't about rock music. But
no,
yeah,
he mentioned the Beatles.
The Beatles. Anyway, all of them.
So what the connection that he's drawing there is that there was a Satanist. Now, I need to, just for friends of the show, I don't do research. You know that. I just YouTube stuff. And here's what I know a little bit about Satanism. So I'm just trying to define this term of Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
When I feel like my stereotype is when guys like this use Satanism, there's often this, we literally worship the literal manifestation of Lucifer and we are supernatural people who believe in this supernaturalism. When I have personally looked into Satanism, it's, every form I've seen thus far has been an ironic, we are going to register this as a religion because we are atheists and we are kind of antagonizing,
mm-hmm,
the Christians and we have our Bible. But if I could read you, I could pull up the satanic tenets and read them to you and you wouldn't know what, if I didn't tell you what, mm-hmm, they were, you'd go, hey, that sounds pretty good.
No, but hold yourself there, Conrad. That's part of the deception.
Well, now I know. Like, now this is like, yeah, let's distort it slightly. And so when he's using the word Satanism there, it's like...
I would say more Luciferian doctrine, which would be more accurate. Like, well, some people could be Satanists. Other people would be Luciferianism, where essentially, this connects a later part of the book, but basically there's this New Age movement headed by these people that started it. It's basically saying that the snake serpent was right and Jehovah's wrong. And so they actually acknowledge who Satan is and stuff like that. And it's like, live out your own truth and all those things. Connect to this cosmic energy. It's not bad out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the badness out there is actually God.
I guess the distinction I'm drawing between the perspectives here, because from the Christian perspective, there is this literal spiritual metaphysic.
Mm-hmm.
And by metaphysic, I mean alternate spiritual reality with God, yeah, out there, cosmic spiritual warfare. But from the Satanist or Luciferian perspective, oft I've encountered it as philosophical. Hey, here's this ancient text and hey, Lucifer said something pretty interesting and we're just going to live by that. But no,
if you go into Aleister Crowley's...
Right.
He's a nutcase. Like he's super into... trying to communicate with the dead.
Oh, so he's right.
Very into channeling and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, does crazy partying. He end up... It's really weird with Crowley. We should do an episode just to, like, because he has influenced so much.
Oh, really?
Well, you see here, this is Leary. Leary became one of the most hated men. If you go into Leary's life, it's like he gets into prison. I was talking to a friend recently on the weekend who knew a friend that was with him in prison. And like,
what was he
became
for?
Famous because like the FBI, because
drugs.
Because this thing caught so much ground about being anti-capitalism stuff, the FBI and everyone got onto it. The FDA got involved and said, "Hey, these psychedelics are wrong. We're going to ban them." And Leary's going, "Hey, we need to license this stuff. Like, I agree, it should be in controlled environments, but if we ban it, this is going to go underground." So,
I've just connected the war on drugs to this now.
Because
now the war on drugs is a good thing, and this generation of decriminalizing drugs because it actually harms more people than it hurts.
So Leary just became F the government, F them all. I'm just going to do what I want. He ends up like, his story is crazy. You could write a movie out of it. He ends up like in Switzerland, has like five wives at least.
They
six.
Always go with weird sex cults, don't they?
I know. He's Crowley, really horny guy.
They're just giving this guy ammo.
Exactly. And so anyway, long TLDR is, he's an incredible guy. A lot of the guys, big podcasters talk about him.
Right.
Hugely influential. As you said, Beatles.
And according
And this thing, you know, John Lennon, this thing about,
I
you know,
can really imagine.
Exactly. This is part of the deception.
Because snap your CDs.
Because this is creating a consciousness awakening in the public eye where they're departing from Christianity and morals and truth and they're making themselves available to this grand deception.
You know where we are, Matt? We are in the shrine of evil itself.
I know.
Bali. Exactly. This is like the sound healings, meditations.
Exactly. And you have no idea this is all connected in, because like, even like this guy goes on a crazy journey through, like, and this is pretty well researched. I wasn't going through this. I'm like, okay.
So you looking were, through, you were Googling I'm and going then you found that clip of
yeah,
the connection.
I mean, partly because it's funny.
Because he mentioned that connection and then you went, I'm going to just verify this connection. Yeah, and you're like, well, he does literally say, yo, I liked Crowley. Like,
yeah.
And
he's an inspiration. Okay. Well, I guess. He's sitting behind 666. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that was interesting.
Anyway, so you do some studies and he goes into the beginnings of psychology. Like, you know, Freud and Jung.
Don't tell
like,
me they're from the devil too.
Well,
man, we can't trust any modern science, man.
They were super into altered states of consciousness.
Were they?
Freud became super addicted to cocaine. Jung did like... thought he was talking to dead people.
If we're going
and stuff,
on drug use, I feel like a lot of people rule themselves out.
No, but no, like this was all about it triggering out of body experiences and experiencing the sub or superconscious.
Right.
Dropbox God.
Right, Dropbox God.
Yeah, they're all trying to.
Which is Satan.
Yes. Masquerading as an angel of light.
Yes. Pretending to be Dropbox God, but Dropbox God is Satan.
And so he tells a funny story about Sigmund. And like you could, again, a whole other episode in those guys, but basically Freud was like, he was a bit more Conrad and you'd say Jung's maybe more like me, just like, yeah, I'm going to dive into this and like fully immerse myself and talk to my ancient ancestors. And Freud was just skeptical, but still a bit scared of the whole thing. But then apparently Jung came around and tried to prove it and had like a Harry Potter moment, and he made the book came out of the bookcase and freaked the crap out of Freud and he passed out.
He used magic.
Yes.
Hang on. Where are we hearing this? This guy.
In the book.
Okay. Was he there?
Anyway,
no. Okay.
It's well documented. These guys are super, super into altered states of consciousness.
Right. Well, and I mean, so they were psychologists, right?
Like, and this is like, these are the guys that came up with
they're the subconscious guys talking about ego, id, all the
behind it, Conrad,
is Satan.
Is them encountering, getting this, getting these altered states of consciousness where they're getting this information from.
Okay.
So let me introduce you to Brown Eyes Girl.
The song?
No. This is Brown Eyes. It's to protect her from her identity.
And that's
she's a staff member at his place. And they thought, let's go out for a plane ride.
Okay.
And so up in the plane ride, and she's just a bit nonchalant, and she's just like, yeah, trying to be cool and chill. And she's like, so are you gonna put us through some aerobatics, doctor? And he's like, all right, I'll take you.
Well, he's flying.
Yeah, he's flying. Yeah, he's
flying.
Yeah, he's like, taking your staff members.
He's got James Bond in his book. He's like, and then Lightning said when I spoke, and like I was doing mad flips in the plane.
So he's doing some mad flips in the plane. And then Brown Eyes Girl gets a bit sick. She throws up in the thing and they're like, okay, we better stop it.
That kills the mood, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kills the mood. Let's take the plane down. Things get a bit strange though, Brown Eyes Girl. And she's vomiting, and then she presents to the hospital the next day. She's like, this is one of his staff members. He's like, oh, what's wrong? Yeah. And it's like there's some bowel obstruction, and then like they dig in, and then like she's getting all these clots going everywhere.
Oh, man.
It's just like thing after thing after thing after thing. He's like, it's difficult to medically explain what is going on.
The body's failing.
Yeah. Like, what is happening here? And so she's on death's door at this point. This is Brown Eyes Girl. And so she's just coming, like they're about to put the respirator on her. And she's like, come closer. And he's like, he just leans in. And she's like, coven. Like a witch. Coven witch.
She says coven.
Yeah. And he's like, huh? What? And so then, like, at this point, he's just like, I need to do a deep dive on witches.
Back to his research.
Back to his research.
You've got work to do. You're a doctor. Yeah. Shut up. Yeah. I'm looking in Encyclopedia Britannica under like, W, whatever you do back then for information.
Yeah. So he goes on a massive deep dive of that. And, like, and then, again, she brings him in and she points to that thing on his chest. Like, yeah, like, which is the, you know, the medical symbol of, like, the brass serpent.
Yeah.
And she's like, Kundalini. Do you know what Kundalini is?
It's like a type of yoga that people do here in Bali.
Boom. We're surrounded by it, Conrad. We are in the midst of a war.
We're in the temple of Satan himself.
Yep. So this thing she pointed to, you can obviously look it up online. I won't go too much into that. But did you realize that there's Kundalini awakenings that have even infiltrated the church?
No.
Coming right up.
Oh, we've got another video. Here we go. Oh, no.
So basically this video I'm going to show you, Conrad, is what it looks like in the occult and what it looks like in church.
Oh, no. I know. Oh, laughing in the spirit.
Yeah, so this is...
There's a big guy in a beige suit having a really good time. A really on the fun floor, time. Like, and this, everyone's just laughing. Like, he's like a larger man, maybe 50 years old, 60 years old. Oh,
and this is what it looks like in Indonesia somewhere.
Oh no! And obviously, we're saying because it's evil in Indonesia, then it must be evil in this church.
This is Rodney Howard Brown.
Whoa, this guy's having like a seizure, a like looking thing. This guy.
I like this guy.
What? The pastor just slaps this guy's the guy jacked. In the head.
I love that. That was awesome, right?
I feel like that's Jerry Springer or something. Wow. This.
But it happens in the occult as well, Conrad. Whoa. These Kundalini awakenings that people are exposing themselves to hit the church in the Toronto Blessing.
Okay, we're watching, like, I guess they look Indonesian and they're like
and
twitching fast.
Do you recognize this person?
Joyce Meyer.
No. This is Heidi Baker.
I don't know who Heidi Baker is.
Heidi Baker. I've read several of her books.
Like,
pretty amazing woman, but she's super into this stuff.
Oh, she's falling over on
stage. She's drunk on the spirit.
Oh, yeah. She's trying to like stand up on the stage in a beautiful red blazer.
But this happens in India as well, like this whole thing. Anyway, you get the picture. I'll leave the video.
In India, people falling over. I mean, to be fair, they could just be showing us footage of drunk people, especially the foreign ones, because I'm not familiar with the church setting that they may or may not be in. Because you've connected so many dots as to if people are asking, why is it that Christians are puritanical, anti-drug, anti-sex, anti-freedom, anti-new age, anti every single movement that's come out of modern, what people would argue as the moral modern progress of not oppressing the poor, not oppressing minorities, not oppressing women, not oppressing gay people. You're providing a very interesting backstory that is if, because obviously even the liberal Christian arm, it's all about love. It's all about like we're all one, Richard Rohr, it's the universal Christ. Oh boy, he's sounding pretty new age.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're showing churches where people are, what is it, seizuring for Christ, yeah. I suppose.
I mean, I should have probably been more specific there with that, that Kundalini awakening is actually its own thing. And to be fair to any Hindus listening to this, it's a lot more complex than that. Like
But for him though?
No,
the old
yeah.
mate with the book?
Yeah, yeah. He goes through like quite a deep dive into different. The chakras and stuff. Like I'm playing a little bit with some of the videos I was showing you before, but it's basically that it's a serpent. It's a coiled serpent that literally a serpent.
But Kundalini is still from the devil.
Yes, according to him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like it's that simplified.
And it activates like the chakra centers, the top one being the top chakra. And it gives you that awakening. That's like electricity awakening. Here is a clip. So what is
the Kundalini spirit? Where does it come from? Is it demonic?
That's good.
Is it actually in the church today?
468K.
I practiced Kundalini yoga for multiple years.
Okay.
At first I was dabbling in it, but I started getting pretty deep into it with a regular practice. Okay. What it is in essence is it's through practice, through meditation, through specific exercises, it's allowing this serpent energy to coil up your spine
certain,
and to unlock
the devil.
And activate
no, but
each chakra in the human
Hindu
body.
Right, yeah.
A chakra is basically an energy portal in Hindu thought.
But for Christianity, the serpent
and it activates every
yes.
single
and
chakra exactly. up to your crown chakra until you're completely aligned and you're completely enlightened and you're completely merged with the God consciousness that they call Brahma. This is, let me tell you, extremely demonic. And I've seen people who come out of this and they need serious deliverance. I went through hours of curse breaking, renouncing this stuff, deliverance.
And this is
and
the curse
if I hadn't, I would still be
crazy.
Under a great deal of torment.
So, but that's run in the mill Christian take on all the
spirits
all
that you allow.
They're bringing in this. They saw that we needed to bring in this new age, church, this new age thinking. This
they.
They is what was that?
They, just the vague they.
I'm being very, it's actually to usher in this age of a, you know, Aquarian age. basically the New World Order.
Right. Oh, I've heard that before.
Exactly. So we can't, there's so much we could go down that path, but wow. This is what I found really funny in the book. So he's talking about the New World Order, and he's just like, you know, this is on the dollar bill, blah, blah, blah. And then he's just like,
oh yeah, the pyramid with the eye.
Yeah. And it's written in Latin, New Order of the Ages.
Oh, right.
And so he's just like, he's making this point. I thought it was just so stupid when he was saying it, but like, he's just like, but this is George Bush Sr., right? He's saying, okay,
President of the United
but
States.
But I am sure George Bush Sr. is not aware of what he is saying when he's using this word. What is that revealing, Conrad?
Oh, like, show your hand. This guy's playing cards with him right on the table there. He's like, oh, but hang on, he's a Republican president?
Exactly. He's not aware of what he's saying.
If he is, he doesn't know. And he's definitely not in on it.
So for those that don't know where this comment's coming from, okay. This is the announcement. Invasion.
We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Uh-oh.
A world where the rule of law.
So his son.
So he's saying he's not aware.
He's not aware.
He didn't know. He's a script writer.
I know.
But if he was a Democrat, you bet your ass he's part of the world order.
He'd be like.
Okay. He's showing his hand now.
He showed his hand in a really funny way. I just like to include that. But to my awareness, he is not aware of what he's saying.
No, this guy knows his audience.
Maybe.
He's writing a book and he goes, you know what? If I don't just give a nod to my audience, I know you're a Bush man.
Mm.
I might lose some subs or some book sales. So I'll just put it in there.
Maybe that was what it was all.
I don't know.
All about. And I think it's another episode where I could go to George Bush Jr.'s.
Please.
You really want me to?
Yes, I do. Okay. Republicans. Here's your clickbait. Republicans are ushering in the new world order. Donald Trump will not save you. You went deep, man.
When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled.
And then there's soldiers coming across the army. America is the new world order.
As America marches forward.
Boom, boom, boom.
But they mean
Blavatsky and all that was behind this. This has been
Blavatsky
set up.
Again?
That was the occult writer that influenced Crowley. Crowley then influenced Leary. They used like LSD and everything to get this out through music and everything. This cosmic Christ, a destruction of
it's. You started at hell and ended me in global conspiracy. You sold
me. And then it goes Star Wars. He starts talking about Star Wars.
Now tell me Star Wars. Ruin everything for me.
I know. And then he's talking about Star Wars, how there's a connection between the good, you know, the Force, and how George Lucas was inspired by this. And this is all part of this global conspiracy. And to his credit, when Brownell Girl said to him, just looked up and just like, Kundalini. And like, witchcraft.
Kundalini.
Yeah. He actually went to like Luciferian churches. He's like, no, I'm going to go do some research on this. So he went to churches where they did seances, tarot cards, and he immersed himself in it.
Is he just looking in the yellow pages?
No.
Kundalini.
I don't know. But like a friend of the show style just went, you know what? I'm on my high horse here. I'm going to go look
in. Gallop in.
Yeah.
Hey, Luciferians. Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
So the final part of this, as he starts to land the plane, is this like, he wasn't sure. And I thought.
I love how this journey of this book. It's
oh
like,
my God.
He's by just, the way, hell's real. And by the way, everyone who believes in love is probably deceived and going to hell. And by the way, politicians are ushering the new world order. And by
except
the way,
George Bush doesn't understand.
Except George Bush doesn't know. He's
and this gets worse, by the way. Okay. I can't wait to bring it up.
Okay.
No, but not this particular thing. So he's writing it like, I get to this. This is me getting through this book. And
I feel like
this is a book you've given to me and gone, Matt, yeah, it's about hell. That's a little bit of a gateway drug.
To hell and back, or to hell and beyond. Like
this guy's written it all through here, right? So he's just like, you know, before closing, we should mention still another source for those encounters with spirit beings which resemble NDEs and OBEs, which NDEs, near-death experience, and OBEs, out-of-body experience. It is the unidentified flying object, or like all UFO. Both heavenly and hellish encounters have been described.
And this is where Matt is like, I was skeptical when you brought up George Bush. But I'm now, in. Now you bring in UFOs.
You've got me.
Okay.
So he's just like, This adds a dimension. Mentioned here at the end of the book may or may not have a place in our travels, but I'll let you decide. And you know what? Matt Potts decided.
I see it's highlighted there.
Oh yeah, you see this. Like so far in this book, Conrad. So far in this book, we have gone from the meditations of India and Hinduism to Hollywood, from the deathbed visions of altered states of consciousness, from drugs to astral travel, from positive thinking to creative imagination, from shamanism to the Judeo-Christian Bible, from NDEs to OBEs, from the search from heaven.
What's an OBE?
Out-of-body experience.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
From search from heaven in the macrocosm to the microcosm. So this is like the whole origin by design thing.
Right.
We've played games with crystals, hypnosis, seances, like scrying, I don't know what that means, necromancy and spirit guides, trying to determine if they were true or false.
And what did we determine?
And I'm like, dude, you have dragged me through some serious trauma.
You've been battered, dragging behind.
You understand why I got shot down from that horse. You know my past.
Like, this, Matt, to be honest, I feel like you shouldn't read this.
I know. That's why I said there should have been a damn
trigger warning.
A trigger warning for me.
Because, Matt, like, you pick up this book and it's like Matt's journey of, like, fundamentalism to like deep theology, like what's right, what's wrong, to how do you get to heaven, to like, oh, maybe like masonry, maybe like conspiracy theories, and then UFOs. And then this guy is saying to you, Matt, and this is the real tough thing, all of it is right.
You heard the thunder before. You sweated.
I was sweating before. I've calmed down a little bit now because he really lost me. He really ruined it with his political. The political agenda became very transparent towards the end. But I can understand like these little touch points that both you and I, mainly you, had growing up of like, here's a Christian worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why everyone's wrong. Yeah. Here's why Hinduism's wrong. Whereas, oh, liberal Conrad, they're more like, we don't understand it. We're not going to judge it. But from, I was still in some of those church meetings where they're saying, you know, like, and that's why in Africa, demonism is still existent. And I'm like, man, Satan's just not active here. Like, what's going on? It's like, oh, only for those African people in that continent of Africa. We're not going to be specific about the country. He's kind of linked it all in a way that it taps into this like deep-seated fear of like, there's more thunder going right now, thunder. Everybody.
We're alone in this flipping place as well. Look at you drag me into.
Hey,
that's I joined book. Here to heal Ideas Digest, not get back on this thing.
Okay, so
you can see I'm actually peaking too.
Yes, because and I understand why, because you were deep into this stuff, like the Christian element of it.
Yeah,
and then he's obviously early Adventist. Matt would have had a lot of issues with a lot of you know the theological undercurrents of it, which probably would have saved you from this back in the day because you're like, no, my theology. But then you had your own version of it.
Yeah,
which would have. Like the snakes around the doctor's thing would have circled back to the New World Order.
Exactly.
And I'm going to connect some dots for super friends of the show because I'm firing from the hip as I connect what I see now in the political arena, what I see now in the New Age arena, what I'm just seeing. I'm just going to fire from the hip and connect some dots. Super friends, stick around. But Matt, where do you land in this plane? Have you just like... Is the plane, does it have its landing gear down? And you're just like...
Well, you'll wait to hear this.
Okay.
That this whole ET thing, this UFO thing.
UFO really got you, yeah.
Maybe so, because reading this guy that's looked into this stuff says, concludes that extraterrestrials or ETs are agents of, quote...
Satan.
Deconstruction. They're deconstructing our worldview. This is the thing. This is part of the deception.
Shivers.
They are the true deconstructionists.
Who? The aliens.
All like, because millions of people have these encounters with aliens, abductions, and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of that thing's crazy. Some of that's very interesting.
Yeah, but are they and angels of Satan?
Yes. This aliens? Is all part of this new age thing.
Oh, man.
To capture the world and be like, God, Jesus, doesn't matter. It's all about this new... It's all
That's
about
a new
us
world
ascending.
Order.
Yes, it's us ascending into a higher spiritual plane. And we could go more and more into all of this.
The UFO
thing. But I thought it would be better before I get to the point of how it responded to me to where he really, really shows his hand. So, so he's now, like, he's trying to land the plane.
It's unraveling a little bit for
you. And then he's just like, no, it's not unraveling for me in the sense of like, he just really, he's just going, okay, this is why I think this is all happening. It's because America has left religion.
Of course it bloody has.
And then he's like,
make
you know what?
America great again.
Christian principles and morals built America. And the rejection of these leads to a downfall.
So we need to invade more countries.
I know, right?
Vietnam. That's why they were showing the video of the protesters protesting against Vietnam. Because America to be America, you got to invade those people.
I know. I mean, protests against a military industrial complex. It must be demonic.
Must be demonic. How dare you? Okay, wow.
So, you know, people, George Washington, for example, you know, really just a hard out Christian guy that just was also a Mason.
Good. And that's a good thing?
A bad thing. Like in the sense of like.
So he, hang these, on.
The, Conrad, there's this whole thing that I need to go into you with about how America was established to bring in the new age of Atlantis. And that.
Well, you've lost me already.
No, no, this is the new world order that with
right, Atlantis is the new world order.
Yeah, because this is ancient thing.
Thought Atlantis
democracy,
was under the ocean.
Go and invade a country, instill democracy, overthrow governments, instill democracy. This is about bringing in the age.
So democracy is bad.
It's not necessarily bad. It's just about how the world should in this new to usher in this new age of human evolution.
I'm just confused at the end here when he's saying America's lost its way, but America has. I mean, excuse my history, but it's been invading people for quite some time. So is he saying America is invading is bad and like that's the new world order? No, or?
He doesn't go, to be fair to him, he doesn't go into these books, into that level of detail. He's just talking about this new world order that George Bush Sr. did not, wasn't aware that it wasn't true.
Did approve the army to go into Afghanistan.
He wasn't aware that it was what new order meant. And he's just like, have you read Gibbon's The Fall of Rome or what about?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really famous book.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is what's happening to America.
The Fall of Rome. Because we are Rome.
He's playing his, you know, like far right position of morals. A loss of morals has dismantled America.
So
this is what it is. Number one, the loss of dignity. And you can't read this because it is like the loss of dignity and sanctity for the home and increased divorce rate. Number one.
Women's rights.
Okay, yeah. Number two.
Strike that from the
number
record.
Number two, Conrad, listen to this.
I'm a good Christian boy.
Higher taxes and spending of public money, brackets, the welfare state.
How dare you, poor people? Wow, this guy is right in the Republican platform.
Building gigantic armaments with the real enemy was within, the national debt.
Debt is bad. They haven't strayed from this. This is still going. Wall thunder.
The decay of religion and the, yeah, look, you know, you get where he's going.
No, this no, is, please.
The decay of religion and the,
what is this?
The impotence of religious leaders. This
okay.
Is immorality
because
and apostasy.
People are leaving.
Everyone doesn't believe in hell anymore. Yeah, the Rob Bells. This is all
oh,
part of this.
Yes, I knew it was him.
The self-esteem movement.
How dare you think better of yourself?
I know. You are a god that, you know, you are, like, you follow yourself. Like, that is all part
self
of
is the
this.
Idol.
Thing. So let's just finish on a story.
Okay.
This is about to get mystical. He's going to a lecture. You see, he's packed audiences around America. He's going in,
see why.
Walking in, slips on some ice. Oh, bit embarrassing. He's supposed to be the speaker. He brushes himself off. He can't get up. He's just sliding around. People are like, oh, is that the speaker? And he's just like, oh. Just like brushes himself off and then goes into the restroom, tying himself up. And he's like, oh, come on. Like, you're better than that. You know, he's giving himself a little talk. Anyway, delivers the talk. You know, there's like big audience there, loves it, whatever. And you notice one of the ushers is a Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, I loved your talk. Great. You know, you want to come back to my place, get a hot drink? He's like, yeah, sure. Why not? You know, hang out with Catholic priests would be great. And so he's in this guy's house.
I think I know where you're going with the Catholic thing. If this guy's
No. Actually, just listen to this. Like it's, and he's back at his place and they're warming their hands by the fire. And he's just like, looks at him and he's just like, so have you ever been in the presence of God?
The Catholic priest says that to him.
Yeah, and he's like, I guess. Yeah, I'm a Christian. And the guy's like, do you want to, can I pray for you and for you to experience the presence of God? Mm-hmm. And he's just like,
Catholic prayer.
Yeah. So this guy starts looking up at the he just goes into this trance.
Oh, no.
And he's just watching him going, what's happening here? And all of a sudden, he's just like almost on the floor. The presence of God enters the room.
Like, it's not laughing, like, though.
No, not laughing. This is the thing. This is what he is explaining. This is the litmus test. He was in awe of God, not awe of himself. He was in this presence. He was in this mystical encounter where it was about God and what he can do, not what I can do, which is part of the New World deception.
The God of the self.
The God of the self. And this is the difference. That mystical experience is the true one, but everything else, including that national debt,
is wrong. The false New World Order. Well,
it was the opposite, the total opposite of what everyone else was experiencing, what that Catholic priest gave him. And I'm like, dude, you've actually smashed Christian mysticism in this book previously.
And then he lands a plane there.
And then he lands the plane there.
Huh. Yeah. He's like, I had an unexplainable encounter that put me off my chair.
And then he goes on a thing. He's like, you know, like, I wish I could just get up there and prove all of this. I wish I can be like Elijah and call down fire from heaven. And I'm like,
he's going fire brimstone at the end there.
I know. Like, you want to be like Elijah and draw and like consume like the false prophet? Like,
set the bears on those children?
Anyway.
Is that Elijah? Or
this
Elijah?
Is where he lands. I don't know. And I thought, you know, no better place to land. And you know what? By the way, Brian House Girl.
Yeah.
There's a story with that. It happens. And it's going to be plus.
Oh,
I'm
gonna,
yeah. This is too much trauma to not include this. Like, you've taken your Ideas Digest. You have taken your pound of flesh from me.
Yeah, this cost you a lot.
This has cost me a lot. I've gone down paths I had not blown off the cobwebs off in a long time.
You shut those doors and so, said,
Super
do
Friends,
touch.
This is for you. You'll find out the ending of Brown Eyes Girl. But I thought for everyone else, let's just end on some Jesus CPR.
CPR.
Push your weight down on her. We know, and this is
how he ends.
Thing. This is
his
a critical moment in life.
It gives
if
him a
we
talk
can catch
CPR.
People before they die, before they drop dead, like you and I, we're alive, we have a choice, and give them the option of accepting Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, then they can't lose whether they live or die. That's with them forever. And when they die like this, we don't have to question where they went. And the preacher will be right. She went to heaven to be with God. But those that die on the street.
Practical.
Where did they go? And is it the minister's fault or your fault and mine? Because we did not approach them with the gospel.
You say the prayer with them.
Which is a free gift to anyone
that
wants it.
No, this is...
Now we have several things in common I'd like to talk to you about with these other cases.
Okay, so I'm just imagining him. So he was standing there. This is his dummy on the table for podcast friends of the show. And he's giving CPR, but then I guess he's also saying, and then tell them the Lord's Prayer. So maybe it's like, you know, rather than staying alive, like, staying alive. It's like, accept Jesus into your heart. Like some Hillsong that's like a good BPM. Or is Hillsong probably not?
He's just like, you need to have that conversation with him. I don't know.
They're like, hey, do you accept?
He's making the point that we should have the conversation before that point, but it should be part of CPR training that maybe because
no, I get
his big thesis, right? And this I probably should have been fair to him at the start, is that we've only, the increase of these NDEs thing has been because of modern medicine. Like before resuscitation was difficult. We didn't have these machines.
We get to come back.
Yeah. And this is why, and this is what led obviously his thing, but this, I'll land the plane there, some Jesus CPR.
Yeah,
and
nice.
I'll let you guys be the judge of what you thought. If you want to know what we're really kind of thinking, you have to know later.
Yep.
And I'm going to actually as well, and plus tell you guys about this whole Blavatsky thing that I mentioned during the thing. I've spoken to someone in person that has gone into a spiritual house to get her OG writings and it cost him a lot.
OG writings?
Yeah, of Blavatsky. This chick that was behind, she channeled a lot of this stuff for this new age deception. So anyway, this pound of flesh, thank you very much. And here
Matt has transported himself. I was looking in his eyes. I don't know if the HD can see it, but there's some little Matt is in there a bit traumatized. Like he's, as he's reading it, he's like.
And the thunder hasn't helped.
Am I wrong? Is there hell and is everything wrong? And is everything I do potentially a deception? That's a traumatic place to go. So super friends, stick around. We're gonna break it down. For those of you who went to ideasdigest.org, signed up, support the show, you'll get the podcast ad-free, bonus segments like Matt's already alluded to. We'll talk about the haters briefly as well. And And what else, Matt?
You helped make this possible. So the people that joined us this week and subscribed, we thank you so much. Where there is a shrine for you. You make this thing possible because this has been a crazy episode. But there's people in your world that have this worldview. You don't even know if we still have this worldview or
maybe
it's resuscitated
me. Maybe Matt's back in there.
But people in your world do.
They do. Yeah.
And we need to understand this. Part of the mission of the show to understand this. And so we can have a better, more informed conversation about these things that divide us unnecessarily.
Because whether you agree or disagree, I mean, in this episode, even for me personally, you have connected a lot of dots. We engage on that political level, that political fight. You've just shown me how deep this world, this like meta world goes and then leads to the political outflow that I've never understood. And so it's an interesting world that some people probably think exactly like this.
Yeah.
And it leads to their political outflows, which you'll have in those conversations. So thanks everyone for tuning in and we'll catch you all in the next episode. But super friends, Matt, where do you want to begin? Do you want to tell me these stories or do you want to...